I've spoken before on how one of my favorite stories is The Lion King. Maybe you know the story from either the animated film or the live action movie or the Broadway musical. The story is the same in each of these three, and I love it especially because of all of its connections and allusions to Christian theology. There's lots of things that we can pull from the story. And so I wanted to examine it a little bit here at the beginning of the homily, especially at the conclusion on how it relates to the gospel today. Because I think there's a scene in there that we can really receive from. You probably remember the beginning of the story. Simba is this little lion cub who's born to Mufasa. And that's where the story begins. It begins at his birth. But then right after his birth, you have this kind of John the Baptist character, Rafiki, this monkey, who takes Simba from his mother and his father. He anoints his head, just like each of us were anointed priest, prophet, and king at our baptism. So Simba, this son of the king, is anointed as the heir of the king. He has this thing that goes across his forehead. And then Rafiki, of course, holds him up to the rest of the pride, all of the other animals, and they worship, they make their noises to him. Maybe you've seen this even at a baptism before. You know, the priest or the deacon will lift up the baby right after the baptism. I've always been a little fearful of that. I haven't had the courage to do it. You get that baby wet, then you splather oil all over it. It just seems too risky to hold him up in the air. But this is what happens at the beginning of the movie. Simba's anointed as this heir to the king and held up for everyone to see. And then the next scene then flashes forward to his adolescent years, when he's growing up and learning who he is. And there's this endearing moment with Mufasa and Simba, father and son. And they look out over all of the pride. And Mufasa says, "Everything the light touches is ours." It's this sharing between the father and the son. Everything the light touches is ours. It's mine and it's yours. In the Gospel of John, we hear all about light. And light is always a sign of God and his kingdom. Jesus is the light of the world. We are lights of the world. And Jesus even says in that gospel, "Everything the Father has been given to me." So Jesus and the Father sharing in this light, just as Mufasa and Simba sharing in the possession of the light. But then, of course, the enemy creeps in. There's always an enemy. There's always a bad guy in these stories. And it's Simba's uncle, Mufasa's brother, Scar. And Scar, he wants possession of the kingship. He thinks it's owed to him and not to Simba. And so Scar then takes this identity as the enemy, and he tries to plant seeds of doubt into Simba and allure him away from the protection of his father. He incepts this idea to Simba, "Oh yeah, you don't know what's on just the edge of the light, do you? It's pretty cool. There's an elephant graveyard there, and it would be really cool to explore if you want to." And then, of course, Simba takes the bait, and he goes to that place. He leaves the protection of the light and the protection of his father, and he goes into the darkness. He goes into this elephant graveyard, and he encounters the first fearful moment, I'd say, of his life. This moment where he's away from the protection of his father, and now he's surrounded by hyenas, and he's in this place of danger. That's the scene that I want to talk about today with our gospel story of Jesus in the desert. But you have Simba there in that place of danger, and how is he rescued? He tries to muster up the best roar that he can, but just being a little cub, it's not much. But then from behind him, you hear the roar of his father. His father comes to save him. And so they roar together, and then of course the hyenas scatter, and Simba is once again in the possession of his father. He's in that place of protection and love. Even then later in the story, Simba has to remember this, that even after his father is dead, he can still stand in the identity of that sonship with the father. And it's that sonship, it's that identity that ultimately leads him to conquer evil in the end. And this is a similar place that Jesus is today in the gospel. It comes after a similar encounter too, just like Simba was anointed, and then he goes out and endures this trial. So Jesus, when he goes into the desert to be tempted by the devil, it comes right after his baptism, right after the time that he's anointed. Even at the very first line of the gospel today, we hear this. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan. So right after Jesus in his humanity is filled with the Holy Spirit, he then leaves the Jordan River where he was baptized, and he goes to be tempted for 40 days. So he's in that place of desolation, that place of danger, the wilderness, the desert. And then he has these encounters with the enemy, with the devil. And in each encounter, the devil, the enemy, is trying to be like a false father to Jesus. He's a false father, the enemy, who tries to assign false identities. But only the true father can give Jesus his true identity. But the false father, he tries to give these false identities, and he tries to allure Jesus away from the protection and the love of the Father. That's what he's doing in each of these temptations. He's trying to lead him out of the security that Jesus has in his identity as the Son of the Father. It doesn't work, of course, with Jesus. Jesus knows his truest identity. He's not fooled by the enemy. He's not allured away by some enticement, even though the enemy tries three times, create bread from these stones, bow down and worship me, and all this power and glory will be yours. Throw yourself down from the temple and you'll be saved. The enemy is trying to entice Jesus away from his identity in the Father. But what does Jesus do after each of his responses? He quotes the scriptures. He quotes the Torah, he quotes the Psalms. He's quoting the Word of God, not really to engage the enemy, but just to state the truth and then move on. Jesus does this in each account, in each of these temptations to be allured away from the Father. He speaks the Word. One does not live on bread alone. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. He speaks the word to the enemy, and then he moves on. Of course, Satan himself, the devil, the enemy, he can quote scripture too. He does that in the third temptation. I don't know if you caught it. The devil himself quotes scripture. He says, throw yourself down because he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. We heard that in the psalm today. The devil knows the psalms. The devil knows the scriptures. And then he quotes again, with their hands they will support you lest you dash your foot against a stone. Of course, scripture is helpful to know. It can be a helpful defense against the enemy, but it's not the end-all be-all. They're not just these magical incantations that we deliver, but they're reminders of us to be in communion with the Word, to be in communion with the Father, recognizing my identity, my truest self. My truest identity is in connection with the Father. That's what Jesus is doing each time he's quoting here the scriptures. And brothers and sisters, the way Jesus encounters the enemy is a really helpful thing to study for us, because each of us are tempted. Each of us are allured by the enemy, and he tries to assign us false identities. He tries to assign to us these false illusions to step out of the protection of the Father. But we ought to follow Jesus' example. What is it that I do when I'm tempted? Well, let's remember what Jesus did. He ran to the Father. Jesus ran into his identity as God's only Son. And so that's a great lesson for us to learn. When I'm tempted away from the Father, I ought to recognize this as it's happening and then run back to the Father. Run back to my communion with him, my identity as his son, as his daughter. Because only the true Father can say who I am. Nobody else is allowed to say who I am. Only the Father gives me that identity at our baptisms. You are my beloved daughter. You are my beloved son. And so when I feel tempted away from that and allured by Satan with something shiny, I ought to recognize it and run back to the protection of the Father. Just like Simba knew he was loved and protected when he was with his father. That's the place where we can go to. When we feel attacked, we ought to run to the Father. Don't engage the devil. Don't even give them time of the day. Don't listen. Okay, yeah, I hear you. Maybe you do quote scripture. Maybe you do quote some truth when you feel attacked or in that place of temptation. But more importantly, run to the Father. Run into the identity that we have by his adoption of us into his family. And then secondly, if we find ourselves tempted in a way where we have fallen, we've been allured, we've been enticed away, we've weakened our connection with the Father, maybe we've even broke it and severed it completely by some decision. As we run back to the Father, let's run to the confessional. That's the place where the Father restores us. It's the place where he gives us his life again. He reminds us, you're my beloved. You've turned away, but I want you to turn back. I want you to run back into my arms. I think of the story of the prodigal son, that son who left his father's home and security. He squandered his inheritance. But then when he came to his senses, he ran back to the Father. He ran back to the identity that he had as the Father's son. And then the Father places his arms around him and he forgives him and he puts a ring on his finger and he restores him and sets him back up. That's what happens in that confessional. When we've fallen in a way that we've turned our back on the Father, we can always turn back to him in the confessional. This is a great practice every Lent, of course. Recognizing our sins, recognizing the places of shadow and darkness in my life, and then running back to the Father, running back to his protection and his forgiveness and his security. Of course, this Tuesday, we have our parish penance service. We have, I think, four of us priests who will be hearing confessions here in the church on Tuesday evening after Mass. We have other confession opportunities, times to be reconciled to God throughout Lent. But let this be a good reminder for us. Whenever we're tempted, whenever we're lured away from our truest identity as God's only sons and daughters, let's run back to him. Run back to your identity as God's daughter, as God's son. Run back to the Father. Confess your sins. Turn away from that place of rebellion and turn back to the one who saves us.